We all got skills. We have talents and we have passions. But mine happens to be sex. This is the Fun Sexual Podcast with your oversharing swinky best friend, Majesty. And I'm talking sex and all of the ways and all of the things that make sex, well, fun.
Y'all are some lucky motherfuckers. Let me tell you something, okay? I went from having no guests to having mad guests. And if you are watching right now, I got two beautiful guests right here with me on the Fun Sexual Podcast. Before I introduce them, I'm going to just let y'all know who I am. I am Majesty. My friends call me Maj. The good boys and girls call me Mistress Majesty, but I'm also known as the wholesome hoe, the sexy sweetheart, Chocolate Velma, a fistful of fun. And what's the last one? I'm missing one. Fuck!
Party Princess.
The Play Party, but thank you! Right. The Play Party, how could I forget? How the fuck could I forget? The Play Party Princess, and I am joined here with...
Sir Marvelous Darling.
Oh, Sir Marvelous Darling. And who else do we have?
Siphon the Unicorn.
Siphon the Unicorn. This has been very overdue.
Long time
This has been extremely overdue.
I think I deserve a spanking for how long it's been.
I mean, I feel like we can make it happen. This is extremely overdue. I am so excited to be sitting here with y'all having this conversation. Even before I sat down, I was like, you know what's funny? I was talking to Morgana. I was like, you know what's funny? Mm-hmm. I don't really know much about Marvelous. Like, I see him around and I know him from the spaces, but I was like, I really don't know much about Sir Marvelous. I was
right.
Like, this is a good time to go into a deep dive with y'all. So this is really, really exciting.
It makes it a little bit more fun because you get to learn things on the way, right?
Absolutely. People surprize me every day, so we'll see. We shall see. Do you guys want to give your pronouns and how you identify in any of the ways that you identify?
So my pronouns are he and him and sir.
He, him, sir. And how do you identify in any of the ways that you identify within BDSM, sexuality, in any of the ways?
I'm a heterosexual male. I am a professional dominant. That was a great question. I never really get asked that often. So
no.
Now, next time, mine's more loaded. But I think that pretty much sums it up for
that's
now.
That's perfect.
Okay. My pronouns are she, her, hers, and I identify as a unicorn, a boss bitch, a feminist.
Yes.
A New Yorker. New Yorker. Top of that.
We hear it. where did the unicorn come from? Is that a unicorn as in like the swinger unicorn, or is like where yeah, did it is?
It is.
Okay, so do y'all identify as swingers as well?
Absolutely. Yes.
Okay.
Very much so.
Very much so. Okay. Very much so. How does that work within your BDSM dynamic? Like, I know some people like to do the cuckolding, you know, and as a part of their BDSM dynamic in the swinger lifestyle. Like, how does that play into your dynamic?
I'll take it.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure.
All right. So for us, it really was just about, I mean, I believe in ethical non-monogamy, and sexual experiences don't necessarily have to do with relationships. And the dynamic that we have has evolved over time, and I expect it to keep evolving. Mm-hmm. So to say that everything else is off the table doesn't make sense, because that's how we met. We actually met at a party that was initially for swingers.
Mm-hmm. You know? And
what am I gonna say? I don't do that no more. That would be a whole lie. Okay, I can't do that.
Yeah. For myself, I always tell people that I think I am probably 60% kink, 40% swing.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm very much into both, though. But if I had to choose, it's because, and you might be able to, you know, teach me or learn me something today on my understanding of swing. But for the most part, because I spend so much time giving pleasure without my dick being involved, I don't think that period of time, if I'm like just topping and massaging, I don't think that's called swinging at that moment. Mm-hmm. You get what I'm saying? Correct me if I'm wrong.
I wouldn't say so.
Yeah. So I feel like, you know, I've been to plenty of parties where I haven't actually played, but I've done plenty of scenes, mm-hmm. different toppings, demonstrations, whatever the case may be. And I left without feeling no regret. You know, mm-hmm. that's my thing. So I think it was fair to say that, you know, I'm more of a kinkster than I am a swinger. But when the time is right, I'm more of a swinger than I am a kinkster.
Absolutely. I've been saying I want to get back into like the kinky side of things, because I found myself in the swinger side of things primarily because I wasn't, during COVID, I wasn't really having sex. I was really, most of COVID I spent with my cat on the couch. Aww. Like, so once things started opening up a little bit, I was like, I'm getting me some dates. Like, I'm getting me several. And that's when I like threw myself into like the swinger community heavy. And I've just been there, and I really found community.
Yeah.
That is really, really always throws me for a loop when I hear, because, and I correct me if I'm wrong, I think the busiest time in my swing career has been during COVID.
No, I was, yes.
Mm-hmm. I hate to promote that, no. But I was in the
parties. I was in the parties. Annie Sheets.
Yeah. Okay. Was definitely out there as well. That is where, honestly, that was when I found my community, because it started off, the first time I ever actually met you at mm-hmm. all was, you were in on a house party.
Yeah.
That was when we were doing all it was like masturbation circles and game nights. And like, we were just drinking, and people were in the tub, and we were just having mm-hmm. a good old time on house party during COVID. And then things started opening up a little bit, and that's when I got a little acty.
Yeah.
And that was when I, you know, started discovering like my group, my community and stuff like that. And so I've just been heavy into the swing, and I'm like, I need to get back into the like kinky side of stuff, because I miss it. Like, I miss mm-hmm. you asked me earlier, like, if I was going to get back into like taking clients and stuff like that. I miss that shit.
Yeah.
There's something like that feels good about like giving somebody something that they wanted so mm-hmm. bad, that is looked at as taboo or something that they couldn't really get somewhere else, and so they're coming to you for this thing. It's like, yeah,
it's your opportunity to turn into a superhero.
I did that.
You're out here saving lives.
You know how to make it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And they leave feeling safe and, you know what I mean, like secure in the decision to mess with, mm-hmm. like to, you know, to do business with you or whatever exchange is going on. Like,
absolutely.
That's the best feeling. When they get home, I'm like, my job is not done until I get that I'm home safe text.
That's
like,
cute.
Literally.
Well, I'll incorporate that into my...
No, but you know, I'm dealing with women, yes. You know, so it's a little different. So I want them to make it all the way home. I don't want the last thing they hear of them to be like, I heard he went to some BDSM dungeon and I never heard from her again. You know what I mean? So for me, I need that text.
My favorite part was after a scene was over, and most of my subs, our aftercare was like, usually like, them rubbing my feet or something like that, and they're just kind of doing like a debrief of like the scene, and like seeing their eyes and their pupils like dilated, and seeing that they were like in subspace, like that was always my favorite part. Yes. That's when I felt like my job, I did what I was supposed to do. I got you what you needed. That was when it.
You
really
love intoxicating people in a way.
It's so good.
Let me show you this high.
It's so good. Oh, love it. Okay. So for this episode's Let Me Put Y'all On, I am going to be putting y'all, Sir Marvelous is going to be putting y'all on to the Sir Marvelous Experience.
Mm.
What is the Sir Marvelous Experience? And then I got a whole slew of questions after that.
So from the best way that I can put it is for, it's when women are given the opportunity to kind of like relinquish some of that control, to turn off that management mode, that mom mode, whatever hats that they may be wearing or whatever things that they may be carrying. It's an opportunity where they can, you know, experience what it feels like for everything to be about them. Nothing has to be planned. I mean, of course, things are going to be negotiated, but they don't have to worry about the details about how or what is going to be made to be happen, you know? And I have a slew of different ideas and different things that I love to do. And it's like a journey. It's literally coming to my dungeon or having an experience like me with me. It's like going to Disneyland or going to Six Flags or whatever fun experience that you want to have, because I'm going to work as hard as I can to do the best that I can.
Absolutely.
To give you that mental and physical break.
Love that. Are people usually like nervous when they first like come into your dungeon or come into your space?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And so what does that look like, breaking them down and getting them? No, I want to say breaking them down.
I joke about it. You know, for one of the first questions I ask when somebody walks in for the very first time, I'm like, how do you feel? And a lot of them may say, you know, I'm, you know, these other emotions, like I'm excited, I'm looking forward to things. And I'm like, you're not nervous? Like, no, I'm not nervous. I've read everything. I watched everything. I've been following. I've been looking at every word you've ever posted.
Seen every review.
I'm excited. So I'm like, damn, you're not nervous? Because I actually encourage nerves, mm-hmm. because, you know, when transmuted the correct way, you know, you can use that to your advantage during arousal. When your nerves are high, when you're a high alert, everything is hypersensitive. Mm-hmm. If you're in a dark room and you're nervous, somebody put their hand on you, you're like, hold up, motherfucker, mm-hmm. what's going on? So again, when you're talking about, because I specialize in sensuality, you know, I can use that to my advantage. As long as during a negotiation, I let you know how I'm going to keep you safe, what we're going to be doing, and things of that nature, your mind is at ease as far as like the safety of the scene. Mm-hmm. But the nerves, you can keep that. You can hold that. I'm going to use that to my advantage. I want every part of this to be a thrill. You know what I mean? Like, it's the same idea like going on a roller coaster or going to a haunted house. You mm-hmm. know, the idea is to be... I guess you could say scared or yes. shocked.
Yeah, it's a thrill. Like you have those butterflies.
Aren't you nervous when they strap you into that roller coaster? Hell, you're like, yeah. Oh, but I ain't going. Like, I'm good. Let's go. You know what I mean? So
for me, it's the clicking. You're really close to the top.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's basically it. There's nothing wrong with the nerves, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. Do you still get the nervous tingles and tickles and stuff before you guys play?
It depends on how much he's divulged, because he's got this thing where he's not able to really keep too many secrets. Mm-hmm. So, like, I know he's got something planned. I feel like something's about to happen. So I'm on guard.
Okay.
I'm on guard. Like, something's up here. And then, you know, we'll get into it. So it's either I'm normally like, what's he up to? What's about to happen? Or I'll be completely covered.
Why has there been so many Amazon packages lately?
No. I can't even...
That is the funniest thing
every
ever.
Day I was like, you know, we should just open up a whole different location. We can just accept your packages.
Fuck it.
What is it now? What new toy do we have?
I think her most nervous moments are when she knows that I know people are watching. That's when I really want to put on.
Okay.
But also, you know, we have this joke where I'm like, every moment of our day is a negotiation. If I show you something, best believe that is my way of negotiating. I'm like, oh, I seen this amazing thing. Guess what? Next week it might be at the dungeon.
That's an Amazon box.
It's an ongoing negotiation every single day.
I love that. That keeps it really exciting. And I think that a lot of people be missing stuff like mm-hmm. that for real. In your Sir Marvelous experiences, have you ever been asked to like work with a couple or like coach a husband, you know, with his wife? Or
absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. I work with a bunch of couples actually. Ironically enough, most of the couples that I have worked with have been married, mm-hmm. and I say that because I didn't really expect that in the beginning when I first started, but it's been positive. It also very, very surprising. I knock on wood. Let me get some wood. But knock on wood, you know, even, you know, the male counterparts have been incredibly supportive, mm-hmm. both and, you know, the way the energy is exchanged, but also like just being fans of my work themselves. So that was like, oh man, that takes me back for a loop.
But do you like teach them as well? They're like, can you show me how to?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, I do believe in my method of teaching. Even prior to before this, I was a teacher. My method is like to show as I do. So the first session that we do with couples is basically where I just do a session as if you weren't there. And then after the session, during the debrief, you can ask me any question. What was that tool you used? What was the purpose you did that? Why did you, you know, say this? What was the purpose behind everything? Because I want you to see it in, you know, the full form, because I don't believe in the idea of trying to teach you something, especially when you're talking about pleasure while being interrupted by questions.
Yes.
You know, I don't want to be trying to like make somebody organize, and they're like, hey, so can you tell me, nah, bro, like keep the questions.
You teach me how to do that? What's your finger doing?
So I'm like, you know, write, you know, try to your best to like mentally know anything you want to ask, and we can just have a full, you know, ask it all at the end. But during the moment, I want her to be in the moment. I want her to almost forget you're there, unless it's one of those scenes that involve, you know, the male also playing a part, because a lot of times, you know, certain women, or a lot of women in my opinion, like the idea of being the center of attention for more than one man at the same time.
So. Can do. Somebody called me a peacock and I was like, what the fuck does that mean? And now like there are different times in my life where I'm like, oh, this is what he meant when he says I peacock. I'll take it. I'm not mad at it at all. So what is your, like, what kind of packages or like offerings do you offer for the experience?
So I pride myself on being the perfect bridge between somebody who's never tried kink and somebody who wants a really good experience, so to speak. So a lot of my, I call my package the Be Gentle package, the first one. Okay. The second one is I'm ready for more. And the third one is She's Gotta Have It.
So what's in the She's Gotta Have It? Let's go.
The She's Gotta Have It is, of course, I don't allow anybody to book that particular package unless we've had experience before, because a lot of the times that can involve like a kidnapping scene, CNC, some form of cuckolding or bull play. I don't actually fuck my clients, but that still doesn't take away from the opportunity from being able to give them like that bull or cuck experience, because in my opinion, in my, again, I just learned that, you know, my definition of cuck is not completely accurate, but in my opinion, what I love about being a cuck myself and, you know, giving people the cuck experience is the opportunity for them to see their woman being pleased. Mm-hmm. Here's the word please, have you on the word please, in a way that is really, really good that they don't normally get to experience themselves. And during that moment, I'm able to humiliate, I'm able to degrade, mm-hmm. for those who are into that, mm-hmm. you know. So again, even though I'll have a motherfucker chain to my ex real quick while I'm pleasing his woman and talking all types of shit, you know what I mean? Because I know what I like to hear when I'm being cucked. Mm-hmm. So it's a good opportunity to be able to switch those roles, so to speak. But it's really much more a higher level of intensity when it comes to things. Mm-hmm. Again, but the biggest factor in the she's got to have it, if I'm honest, is the fact that that's when we really start to involve another person. So, okay. You know, in order to do that, you got to have experience.
And so when you do the cuckolding experiences, are the spouses just like sitting and watching? Are they like on FaceTime? Like,
so, and that's the thing. So that's an option. As you know, kink can be negotiated for whatever you want. Mm-hmm. Somebody might just want to hear. Somebody might want to just watch via FaceTime. Somebody might want to be chained up, tied up, sitting down, just sitting on a chair, told where to sit. Or maybe they're not a cuck at all. They just want to be a stag. Mm-hmm. And a stag is minus the degradation. You know what I mean? Minus that. They just want to see their woman being pleased. So wherever they're comfortable being, whatever they want, we can negotiate it.
I love it. And are you ever involved in the experiences as a helping hand?
It depends on what's being asked for. So obviously if there's ever a situation where someone's like, I don't mind her being in the room, I'd like her to be in the room, then, you know, we just talk about that, mm-hmm. what that looks like. Because I don't at this time top anybody. I don't do that. But mm-hmm. I do assist if need be. Mm-hmm. You know, so it depends on what the person's looking for. I'm always surprised when he says people ask, and I'm
yeah.
Really?
When we go on, tour, they eat her up in a sense, because in my dungeon she's normally like, you know, what's the word? Decompose? No, that's not the right word. Anyway, she's elsewhere. When they enter the dungeon, it's just me and that person. Mm-hmm. When we're on tour, we're in an Airbnb, so mm-hmm. she might be in the kitchen, she might be in the living room as they're walking in, and, you know, she's greeting them, and they're like super excited. Oh my god! Oh my god,
y'all are famous.
So, you know, and she'll be in and out to help and assist whatever I may need, like her resetting. Like, that's one of the things I slept on the most when it comes to doing a lot of sessions back to back, is that reset time.
Cleaning up,
resetting, you know, sanitizing, making everything look pretty again, washing the sheets. Mm-hmm. You know how much laundry we do on tour?
I do so much laundry. Like, so much.
I've been at TYP cleaning up after play parties. I'm like, oh my God.
This is not it. This is not life.
What the fuck? Because they have to do their own. When I host my own parties, I probably shouldn't say this, but I don't have to do my own damn laundry, so I don't give a shit. But mm-hmm. like, when I've helped them, I'm like, this is another job in itself.
Yeah. Yeah. And imagine you have to set up for the next party right away.
Nah.
You'd be like, nah.
We're going to get several sets of sheets, and we're taking this to the laundry service. Okay. In your work, you are very passionate about your work, and it shows just, you know, in the things that you post on social media and stuff like that. Do you ever get aroused in your work?
All the time.
Okay.
I'm capping. I'm not capping. I get aroused more than people would imagine. I love the opportunity to be aroused, because that's when I really get to like open up, mm-hmm. and I'm fully and on it. But there are very few times where I don't feel some form of arousal. I truly, genuinely, as cliche as this may sound, I genuinely derive pleasure when I'm confirmed that that person is receiving pleasure. I am nervous up until the point where they start moaning. I have a part during my session, and I always debrief with her about most of my sessions, 90% of my sessions. And the first session, if I'm honest, is going to be pretty much like scripted, you know what I mean? In the sense of like what I'm going to do, because I don't know this person, we don't have experience, so I'm going to do the best that I can based on what I know, you know what I mean? And it may be some differences here and there, but I do have a part during the first session where I'm like, this is the part where they're supposed to show me that they're aroused in my
if
mind.
If they are not, something is wrong.
The passes, I hear about it. Like, you know, and then I wasn't sure, and I'm like, oh. Yeah.
And then I'm like, all right, this is the second part of this is it. You know what I mean? Once, because
smacking the baby's butt. Like, yeah.
So, you know, but once they start moaning and biting their lips and talking all stuff or grabbing and reaching and things like that, like, I look for every sign. Mm-hmm. And once I see that, them toes curling and moving, I'm like, yes, I love it, I love it, I love it.
Has it given you, like, has doing this work given you, like, a different sense of, like, the woman's body and women and pleasure and what that all looks like? Because I think a lot of men derived their ideas of woman's pleasure from mainstream porn, which we realize is not real. Has this work given you a different, like,
absolutely. It's given me a different perspective on, you know, I was heavy on the statement, don't judge a book by its cover, but now it's even more prevalent in my life because, you know, I cannot guess who's going to react the way that they do to the things that they do. You know, like, I had this lady not too long ago. She had to be like pushing 60.
That's the fuck I'm talking about.
Respectfully.
It's gonna be me.
You know what I mean? Getting her ass whooped. And I was trying to pull back a little bit, but she was into it, you know? So I was like, okay, that's what's up, you know? But as far as, like, learning more about their bodies in general, yeah, I am learning to appreciate and worship every square inch more and more because, again, like, there are so many different erogenous areas.
Yes.
We were just speaking to Eli earlier about pleasure maps. You know, everybody has their own pleasure map. Mm-hmm. So yours might be your big toe. And
my elbow. Yeah. I didn't realize how, like, somebody was trying to get my attention and I was talking. So she kind of like grabbed my elbow a little bit. I was like, what the fuck did you just do?
I pressed some buttons.
She was like, I was just trying to get your attention. I was like, do that again.
Mm-hmm.
Do it like that. That was a very interesting find. But we're gonna go back to the 60-year-old client. What is, like, the general, like, age demographic of, like, your clients between, like, age and usually are they usually married or, like,
I would say the average would probably be like between 30 and 45.
Okay.
Well, say 30 and 50, honestly. And I think a lot of that stems from them at that point, especially when they get towards the 40s. A lot of them have raised children, been married and divorced or going through a divorce or some variation of that. Mm-hmm. And they've lived their lives so much for other people. And now it's like, I want to do something for myself.
Yes.
You know, and I want to experience, fuck that. I'm not worried about what nobody thinks about me. My children are raised. They're in college. Did this, did that. Like, you know what? I'm not living by nobody else's rules. I want to experience this. And I think you're the perfect person to do it with.
And they have those conversations with you?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. You know what I mean?
I love it.
You'd be surprised at how many times, you know, women have said, like, I was married for 5 years, 8 years, 10 years, 20 years.
I've never come.
And I haven't had an orgasm, or I can count on one hand how many orgasms I actually had, you know. And then it's like, shit, if I was you, I'd be in a dungeon too, trying to figure out what's...
I'm gonna chain my damn self to a bed with a fucking toy or something.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was watching How to Build a Sex Room. Did y'all watch that on Netflix?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I thoroughly enjoyed that more than I thought that I was going to. Let me say, I was a little bit weary because I was like, they got this old white lady. She better know what she was talking about.
She killed it.
And she did. And I was like, I like her.
Yes.
Like,
knows what she's doing.
She
wrote her name down. We definitely going to reach out to her at some point.
I already DM'd her. She didn't respond, but, you know, saying I'll wait.
She'll see you soon.
She will.
She'll see you soon.
She will. I was like, they could have put me on that bitch, but I guess I ain't got enough HGTV. They don't know what I could do yet. They don't know what I could do. I could build shit and do shit. They don't even know. So that was the Let Me Put Y'all On segment of the Fun Sexual Podcast. Now, we're going to do a little bit of an icebreaker, or just like a little game. So I'm going to ask some questions about the two of you, and you're going to point to who the question applies to.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Oh, let me adjust.
They're not too bad. I kept it pretty PG. Who is the kinkier one?
Not to look at her.
Your eyes got big, but there's a part of me that feels like you got some kinks and some secrets.
Whoa, you know what?
There's something about her that I always am like.
Gonna make my mask fall off.
I gotta do like this for both of us or something.
I can see that. I can always see that. Who made the first move? That was you. And how did that go? What was it?
So I booked a session. Okay, I booked a session. I got went to a party. I got a demo. I was like, need more of that. And I booked a session. And then after the session, basically, I mean, I've told the story before, and I'm so sorry, but
do it.
We went to a party after my session, and because we were both already going to it, and I just was watching him work, and I approached him. I was like, you know what? I think I could be your submissive if you're looking. I think I'm interested.
That wasn't
in
no. That wasn't the line.
He was like, put all my stuff out. Help me out. Put all my stuff out. And then there was a collar.
Mm-hmm.
There was a collar. Oh. So there was a collar, and he was like, oh, you want to put this on? I was like, no.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me.
Heavy on a no.
Hard no. It was a hard no. And then as the night progressed, I was like, wait a minute now. I want to walk around with this man's collar on.
And immediately after she put the collar on, people were like, who are you with? She was like, Sir Marvelous. And it was like,
ooh. I was giddy. I'm with Sir Marvelous. I'm with Sir Marvelous.
Yeah. Now it's funny because I was just talking to Gim Morgana, and she said, I said something. I was like, yeah, I'm sitting down with Marvelous and Siphon next. She was like, yeah, I just saw Siphon. I said, you said Siphon. I was like, you saw Siphon without Marvelous? She was like, no, Marvelous was there too. I was like, you're going to see them both.
Yeah.
You are going to see them both. So it's now like awesome how y'all are just so like intertwined and like associated with one another, mm-hmm. which I absolutely love. Who's the biggest shit talker?
Ooh, good one. That is a yo. I like you. I like you. I think it's a tie. I'm sorry. I'm leading my answers. I'm sorry.
Wait, no, that's fine.
In bed or in general?
In general.
Oh.
Because let me tell you how I was on the fucking floor when you posted that video on Instagram and he was outside jumping rope. I was on the floor. Yeah. I was like, oh shit. That was. I loved it.
She got a whole accent for talking shit.
Yeah. Oh
you better
have a running joke with that, actually, because we don't know what accent it is. I was like, I think it's Russian. I'm not sure. I don't know what it is. It just comes out that way. Yeah.
I feel it. I definitely feel it. Who apologizes first?
Yo, where are you getting these questions
from? Right up in this big ass noggin, baby.
This is why you're the fun sexual. That was deep. I was ready for anything else.
No. Before you even answer that, real quick, I was like, I can go into the kinky shit. I've seen you on all the podcasts.
Right.
I've watched all the things.
Yeah.
I can go into that and ask the same questions. Or I was like, I was telling Marvelous before you came back in, I was like, I sat down and I was like, I really have never like really, really spoken to y'all and really gotten to know y'all outside of like, I see the shit that y'all do. I think it's awesome. I love it. But I never really spoke to y'all. I was like, well, I want to get into them, mm-hmm. you know, more than
and
just
to be
them.
Honest, when I'm at events, I do have a persona to uphold. Like, I think even to you, you said, as much as you're the play party princess, you still don't want to be, you know. Like, so, but apologies. Yeah, definitely.
That's you.
Definitely.
Okay. What you saying? You stubborn or something?
I'm a cancer.
It takes him longer. It takes him so much longer mm-hmm. to get there.
Yo, what was it the other day? I had to say you was right about him.
Oh, God, I wish I had it on tape. Because he was mad that I was right. He was like, that's okay, too. I was like,
You almost said it. I like that. Y'all are fun. Who's more sadistic?
Oh, really? I don't know.
I'm giving it a year.
I don't know.
Siphon gonna come out with some shit because I feel an energy from you that like, yes, Siphon the unicorn, the sub and all that stuff. But I know it's some spice back there.
So,
I mean, you went on quantity. I give you the quantity. Went on that.
I will confirm everything that you're saying right now, even though she's not going. I'm probably gonna get in trouble for this, for breaking the NDA. But, nah, she's loading up on some stuff. And everything about her brand is, it looks gentle, but it's not. It's not. It's all sparkly, and it will hurt.
Yeah.
To lure you in.
So,
like a siren.
Trapped.
But the thing is, the biggest misconception about sadists, right, is that it always has to be like the traditional types of pain. I believe sadistic play is evolving like torture with whatever it is. So if it could be tickle torture, it could be pleasurable torture, forced orgasms, that's being sadistic.
Even mental torture.
Yeah, mental torture. So it's not always about like, let me whip your ass and mm-hmm. cause you pain. It could be like, yo, give me a second to catch my breath, please. No, shut the fuck up. You know, so.
Felt a little tinkle. Oh, my God. Who's the better cook?
Oh, I'm gonna give it to you.
Me, But he's a good cook when he wants to be.
Okay.
When he wants to be. He's actually pretty pretty inventive.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty inventive. I think maybe there's been one dish that I didn't.
Probably, yeah.
And that's it. Everything else, I'm like, oh. Okay. And then I get excited because he made dinner or made breakfast or yes. whatever the case may be.
I love it. Is that ever included in the Sir Marvelous Experience, a meal?
So, yes and no. It wouldn't be home cooked, so to speak, if okay. I were to ever do anything like that. But I do want to get to a point where the experience is more of an experience. Doing the food thing is not a hard limit, but it would definitely take some more planning. Maybe I would like hire a chef.
More money.
Yeah. We need, you know, the money, the price got to go up and we're going to be giving a meal. But it wouldn't be us cooking. I'll tell you that right now. It won't be us cooking. It would probably be a third party cooking. And then after the whole experience, they can, you know, eat and stuff like that. But they be hungry when they leave.
Hell, you know.
I tell them right now, I'm like, you better pull over and get you something to eat.
I always, before I go to a party, I always like stop and get like a sandwich or something so I can have to eat at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Because I'm always hungry as fuck. And I also don't like to eat before I play.
Right.
Because I hate the feeling of like mm-hmm. food sloshing
around. You feel bloated a little bit. Like,
and sometimes I've done drugs and then gotten the bubble guts and I'm like, this ain't
cute.
So I'm like, I'm just going to keep it empty before we.
We have like this ongoing joke. After every party, we always end up in a deli looking crazy.
Yes. Yes.
4:30 in the morning. Our first party we ever went to. I still got pictures and videos of her. Like, she had on like, I think, was it my hat or your hat? It was your hat.
It was my hat.
She had a fedora.
I had a fedora
a
on.
A collar on. Furry slippers. A trench coat.
It wasn't a trench coat. It was the fur coat.
Oh my.
I look like an old school pimp.
Baby,
that was in the streets looking for their hoes. That's what I look like.
The play party.
I know. I've been there. I've been there with fishnets with big ass holes, one boot that's high, one boot that's low, makeup looking stupid. I've been in like, listen, it's 5 o'clock in the morning.
Some chicken fingers and
rich fries. I'm making breakfast sandwiches.
Yeah. let me get a turkey bacon egg and cheese in this beach because I'm hungry as fuck. So yes, I'm all about that. My last question for you guys is going to be, who is the first person to suggest trying something new?
Yeah, he wins on that one. I just do it. I'm like, he'll let me know whether that worked or not.
Has there been anything that y'all have tried and you're like, yeah, I ain't never doing that again?
Good question. Yo, what is, you need to be a therapist, sex therapist, for real talk.
I just finally reached a thing that I was like, I probably won't do this again. And it's anal for me.
So I'm gonna come back to you on that one because I swear to you, I was just listening to your podcast the other day and I was like, I really want to have a conversation with you about anal. But again, one second, let me think to answer your question.
For us, I think it was probably like attending a certain event or working with certain people. Like, I think that's
can't work
what
with
it
everybody.
Is.
Everybody stop. I'm kidding.
Yeah, something like that. I don't know. But as far as play, we do our best to try to like ease our way into certain things. So like, it won't be like a horrible experience, you know. Nothing we've tried so far, right? No.
I thought I was never going to get to a point where I found something that I didn't like. Like, there are certain things I'm like, we can adjust this. I prefer this and not that. But I had never had anything that I was like, no, never again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I've tried anal several times.
Mm-hmm.
I've tried the toys. I've tried the anal training. I've done all the things. And then every time I'm just like, I just don't think it's for me. Like, mm-hmm. I really feel like I just don't think it's for me.
Yeah, I remember I heard you say, you was like, oh, I tried it. I could do a finger. I could maybe do a toy. But the dick, it just don't want to accept it. So
every single time.
Yeah, so I actually do anal training for beginners. It's one of my absolute favorite things to do for people. And I love when people are like, I hate it. I had a bad experience. Like, my sister actually helped me come to the understanding that, like, that's probably another one of my kinks. Convincing people to love things that they always thought they hated.
I like changing their mind.
So.
I do enjoy changing their mind.
Yeah, so you could. I'm not here to, like, prophesy that like I can give you a great anal experience, but like I can give you a great experience.
This is the second time I've had this conversation in 2 days. My other friend, he was like, I mean, you ain't never asked me. Like, you, I sure
so
did.
Like, all right, no. so similar to the way I speak about we're in with a lot of people, because I always ask them the circumstances in which they do it. And I've listened to the podcast where you spoke about your anal experience, so I do know that you have tried it with the warming up, you have tried it with like the easing in and things of that nature, but I don't believe, from my understanding on the outside listening in, that you have tried it with somebody that has researched it as much as I have. And I think knowledge makes a big amount of difference in a lot of experiences. So you could correct me if I'm wrong, but
the last person that I did it with, I won't say it on here, but I'll tell you offline if you remind me. He's pretty experienced. There are actually two people that I've tried it with that are very experienced in it, and
so experience just, or like
I would like to think that both of them actually, because of how well versed they are, how much they like talk about it and stuff like that, I would like to think that they are very well researched.
Okay.
But I can't 100% say that. Like, I'll tell you who it is after.
Okay,
after
gotcha.
But I wanted to think that they were, you know, they knew their shit. And it just, I feel like it's I really feel like it's me. Because even when I'm playing by myself, like, you know, I have small dildos and things. It's just my butthole just be like.
And again, that could be that could be true. It could be very much true.
I'm going to give it another try later on down the line somewhere.
And you've experienced an orgasm with the plug in at the same time, correct?
Yes, I have.
Okay, good.
I have a vibrating plug.
Excellent, excellent.
Excellent, excellent. I'm crying. Oh, okay. How did you get into the lifestyle? What is your like supervillain origin story?
Supervillain origin story. I actually was taken to a swinger party, and I didn't know it was a swinger party at the time.
Who did this to you?
A good friend of mine. So I can't say his name, but yeah, he was like, "Yo, let's go to a party." And we got there, but it was like really old people.
Old white?
No, they were black, but they were really old. They were like
careful with the numbers. You gotta say.
No. I mean, they were old
at the time.
Old at the time for me. Excuse me. And again, I gotta work on language, but at the time, especially then, because this is like 10 years ago for me.
Okay.
And they were, everybody was over 60.
Holy shit!
Mind you, my friend is like 12 years older than me. So, and he likes older women.
Okay.
So, you see where the math starts
like,
mapping at?
Let me take you to the oasis.
And I'm like, I was like, but it was such a good vibe. I just was like, I got too drunk and I just was like, and I'm going to go home. I didn't get to play. I probably would have played, honestly, but it just wasn't the most ideal situation for me, but I was open to it. And then next thing you know, my first time going to a party where I had a decent experience was at Caligula.
Okay. I've never been to Caligula.
You've heard of it.
I've heard of it many times. I've never.
Yeah.
I don't do the New York clubs.
I don't blame you. I have learned a lot, and I won't really do the Caligula thing. A crazy thing is, I would go back to Caligula, just because I like to watch like progression. Like I like to see. Like we've came so far since the Caligula days, you know. But I would love to see, just to be like, whatever. But yeah, that was my first time having a decent experience there, and I was like, yo, I can get used to this. But as I progressed more and more, again, I learned that I like the kinkier spaces more than I like just the strictly swing spaces. Mm-hmm. Because with the kinkier spaces, there's more to do. Yes. There's more to offer. It's not like, yo, it's not pressure to just get to the business, you know what I mean? It's a warm up. And for those women, like, I've always had this thing where, like, conquering women, again, getting women to do things that they thought they wouldn't be into. Mm-hmm. So if I'm at a party, you know, in my single days, right, I don't necessarily, and again, this is no shame, I love everybody, like I'm all for it, but I don't necessarily want the woman that's fucking everybody. I want her to select me. You know what I mean? Or to me to qualify, rather. Let me qualify. I don't mind her fucking most people. I just want to be qualified. I want to be willing to qualify. I would love to, you know, do a little bit of like swaying, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Like, and you talk to me for a little while, find out what I got going on, and select me, qualify me, or choose me, so to speak, to be able to be worthy of being played with. So,
do you identify as demisexual?
I wouldn't push it that far.
Okay.
I wouldn't push it. Because again, like, that was before, you know, especially when I was single. Like, the idea of the type of women that I would pursue all the time, again, I would look for people that fit a certain narrative so that I can try to convince them to be, like, on their knees, getting fucked in their ass, and, you know, all types of shit, fisted and all that other stuff. So, anyway, long story short, I realized that I like the kinkier play parties that involve kink and swing, not just swing for me. Mm-hmm. So.
What about you, Siphon the Unicorn? What's your super villain origin story?
I feel like, so COVID.
COVID.
COVID was
it was a magical time for all.
COVID was a magical time. At the very beginning of COVID, ran into an old friend of mine that mentioned that they were in lifestyle, and they like dropped the word real quick in a conversation when we were catching up. And I was like, whoa, 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 rewind.
Talk about it.
Talk about that real quick. How'd you get in there? Is there an app? How do I do it? Like, I've been looking for this.
Really?
I have been trying to be in lifestyle forever.
Swing or kink or BDS? And like,
what? I don't know.
I just
needed to be where people were fucking and it was okay. Because I have a really high sex drive.
Same.
So any of almost every single one of my relationships have always had an issue with sex. And not because we weren't having it, but because they felt I was trying to have it too much. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, how else am I going to, like, you know, do this, that, and the third? So I was interested in being in those spaces. I like to be free. I like to feel the energy of other people doing it. I love watching porn full volume up. I want to hear it all. Literally. So those things turn me on. And, you know, I was on these apps, like everybody else at the beginning of COVID, and met someone that was like, hey, I'm part of this group that, you know, throws parties, and they're going to be having another one. And all my hypochondria kicked in, like, oh, God, COVID, how y'all doing that? And it's like, well, no, trust me, you know, we'll do this. They test, you know, them. Everybody has to come with their test, this, that, and the third. And went to that party. The energy, it was small, very small, in an apartment.
I love the small parties.
Mm-hmm.
The energy was off the charts. And I was like, I found home. This is home. I want to be here.
All the time. I interviewed Lou. I did an episode with Lou, and I was telling him, like, I have had my best orgasms, like, in that room, in TUIP. That, my favorite orgasm, my most memorable sexual experience have been there. Like, I was just so happy to just find people that accepted me.
Wow.
Just, if I want to fuck three people tonight, I'm going to fuck three people. If I want to fuck seven people tonight. Yeah. Like, I'm finding a space where I could do that, and no one's looking at me sideways, and everybody still cares about me, and people still treat me, I think.
Yep, with
people,
respect.
With respect. But even for me, like, people don't treat me gently. I finally have been able to put the, like, vocabulary to it. People meet me and I can come off a bit like rah for some people.
Mm-hmm.
And so they think that they don't have to be gentle with me. They think that they can just kind of toss me to the side. They don't have to give me, you know, as much attention, or just kind of just disregard me. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that anybody should be treated like that.
Definitely.
So finding a group of people where I get to be raw and they still treat me very gently and they're still very kind and respectful to me, I was like, oh, I love y'all. I'm stuck with y'all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not leaving.
Yes.
I'm never leaving.
I was telling him not too long ago, I was like, you know, in vanilla world, I'm not really considered, like, attract, like, people are not drawn to me way they're drawn to me in this life. I don't know what that's about, but I don't have, like, that kind of appeal where, like, I've always got people hitting on me. I mean we're women, so that does happen. But, like,
I know exactly,
not at the same level as these other women. And I find that when you're in this space and you're able to let go of all the things that you're, like, holding back to not scare people, you're, like, fully yourself, and it just makes you that much more attractive.
It makes
attractive.
You radiant. You just glow. You shine. Mm-hmm. I say that to people all the time. Like, in my vanilla life and just in my regular life, people pay me zero fucking mind. But I come into step into a play party, and it's like, ooh.
Ooh,
and
it's my, like,
chill the fuck out. Because regular, walking down the street, people pay me zero fucking attention. But
you're a superstar at the party. And ironically, that's okay to be like that, because you know what I mean, you want to be able to compartmentalize, so to speak, that type
of
attention.
I want niggas trying to crash their car.
Okay, say less. Say less. Say less.
That is what I want.
Yeah, I hear that, right? Crash the cars.
Crashing cars. I want to be like, oh my God, ma'am.
Yeah.
I wish it, like, something. Just right, something. Right. You look real cute in that yellow shirt today.
Yeah,
something.
Yeah.
People pay me zero attention.
Yeah.
But I also might just not be paying any attention. People don't pay me attention. That's the real of it all. Random,
gotcha.
Very random question.
I'm not ready.
I was like, I don't know. I felt
right
that too.
You know, so I was trying to figure out, I was like, how can I work this into the conversation at some point? And I don't think it ever was going to quite fit.
Mm-hmm.
So my random question, you get to like spank a lot of ass with the work that you do.
Yes.
Right? So you get to see, you know, the ripples in the butts mm-hmm. as you spank the butts and things. Is it different to spank a butt that has been modified, like a BBL booty or like butt implant booty versus like natural booty meat booty?
Ooh. Mm. Let me get my PR team on this one. Make sure I don't say anything.
I think people who probably have had it done also want to know.
I've had a BBL and I would like to know.
You have?
Yes.
I never would have known.
I had it 5, 6, 7.
I mean, you have a beautiful body, but you can't tell. Like, you know, some people don't really get the greatest work done.
You don't look like the thing that everybody else is trying to make themselves look like
right now. I didn't want to go like, huge ass. I just wanted to have a booty.
I understand what you're saying. So... I've had some good experiences and some not so, they weren't bad experiences per se, but it made me worry that like, I felt like I was going to maybe like rupture something. Like,
was it like a fresh BBL?
That was probably the situation. It was probably a fresh BBL and not exactly sure how they were able to get that. It probably wasn't a BBL. It probably was like the old, what's the old one?
This one with the implants? Like the,
yeah.
Okay.
It probably was a situation like that. And that was it. But it looks good. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, because males are more visual creatures, it does look good, but it doesn't feel the same, if I'm allowed to say
You're
that.
You're for sure. Does it ripple the same when you hit it? Like, is it the same?
It depends on the work that they had done or who they went to. Honestly, like some people go to places that don't do the best work, so it doesn't really come out that well. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, it's a good thing.
Okay.
I totally did not answer that great. Because I know that there's like I want to encourage people to do what they want to do with their body.
This wasn't to shame anybody for any of their choices. Honestly, I don't give a shit. If you want to do something to your body, I would be the first person telling you whoever the fuck you
So I don't want you to be like, I don't feel the same. Like you really got to do your research. Go to somebody that's going to do it the right way. Because if you're going to be out here looking and feeling ridiculous, that ain't what you want, you know?
In my mind, I've wondered this question because I enjoy even when I do the impact that I do, like I enjoy watching, like, you know, the way the body moves in different ways. And I was always like, I wonder when you're doing that to a butt that has had it like a BBL booty, because they're usually like a little more firm, they're a little more like plumply round and high. So I feel like the ripple is probably different, the feel is probably different.
Believe it or not, like, where the BBLs tend to like throw me off is the stomach. The stomach is normally really hard, and that is maybe again because I do know that sometimes no, but that's probably in the beginning.
Okay,
it's probably in the beginning when it's first done. Okay. You know, you gotta wait anywhere between 3 to 6 months from what I heard, or maybe even longer. But it could be like feeling like you're rubbing on that, you know, exuberance, because they'll be able to confirm like if it's really really hard because it's so straight and narrow. And I'm like, oh man, are you feeling what I'm feeling? And then also. When it comes to like women that have breast implants and stuff like that, I worry, is nipple plate even going to be worthy? I mean, not worthy, but like, are you going to feel anything? You know, am I wasting my time? Or like, I don't want you to be faking it either. And I don't want to kind of ax. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it gets a little
questionable.
Yeah, questionable. Yeah.
That's fair. I know for me, after my breast reduction, like, I didn't have much sensation in my nipples to begin with. Like, I had to be high in order to really like feel much sensation in my nipples. And I realized that I ate some fucking THC honey and started rubbing on my nipples. I was like,
oh, I like it. This,
like, what's going on here?
It could have been the honey.
It was something in there, but like my nipples just weren't very sensitive before. And even after my breast reduction, they're still not very sensitive. It's just, I don't know, nipple play has never really been my thing. Like, I have to be super aroused to even have much sensation in my nipples in general. So
gotcha.
I'm jealous of the people that definitely do have it. I kind of want to shift a little bit and just talk about you guys and your dynamic.
Okay.
So first of all, is your dynamic 24/7?
Mm.
Yes, but it changes.
Okay. And what do you mean by that?
We switch.
Mm-hmm.
Switch at roles?
Yeah. Well, I don't ever become the dom, but as far as who's going to be more dominant.
Or the leader.
Top and bottom.
Leading in that particular scenario.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and tell everybody, well, not tell everybody because it's the truth, that she's actually my manager. So she handles a lot of the affairs. We are part owners of Sir Marvelous Things, Marvelous Things Entertainment. A lot of that, she has to, every now and again, she has to wear that manager hat. Like, even earlier today, I got screamed at.
I'm like, booking stuff and not talking to me. Yeah, I got questions. I'm like,
you know what I'm saying? So, you know, so at times like that, it does feel a little managerial.
Yeah.
In that way. So, you know, it's going to be like that. It's kind of like, it's still a business by definition. So, like, if I don't do something right, if I've messed something up, if I'm being too impulsive, because I'm the type, I'm like, I'm in people DMs, like, yeah, can we come on? He's like, no, send an official email and that. And I'm like, send a DM. I already sent it, by the way. I sent them a voice note.
Listen, whatever
that doesn't work for our taxes. I can't give them that.
So,
whatever works, baby. It's going to get you on the damn podcast. Is your dynamic a high protocol dynamic?
We're working our way up to that. Okay. More and more. The most, and you can answer. I'm sorry for answering it.
But the
most protocol that we experience in our relationship is when we are performing in front of a crowd. But I'm literally reading a couple of books on increasing our protocol. I'm also learning more about the psychology behind like high protocol relationships and stuff like that, because it's really, really intriguing to me. I'm having a lot of fun.
What are some of those books?
There's a Gorian line of books. It's called The World of Gore, where it's basically like a planet where all the women are slaves.
What in the Handmaid's?
I know. <Yeah. laughs> I know. When he first told me, I was like,
But it's amazing.
And what are you learning?
Oh my God, it's such an amazing book, because it's fiction, of course. It's a whole different planet. And, you know, the main character is a woman who comes from like high in, she's a king's daughter or whatever, and because of that, she's not the typical woman slave or whatever, but then her kingdom gets overran.
She ends up becoming a slave.
But the guy that is also the main character, who ends up like protecting her and taking her on, like, she ends up putting herself in a position where they end up having to do the slave thing dynamic just to keep her alive, because free women are not allowed to like just roam around. And she's like, if I'm going to submit to anybody, I want it to be you, because I trust you. You know what I mean? And
that got you, Dakar. You like, yeah. She chose him.
And, you know what I mean? But she's also so used to being a princess, and she can't tell anybody because she's on the run.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? They tried to take everything over. So anyway, she's on a run, and like, they're on a roll, you know, traveling, trying to go to somewhere where they can be safe, so to speak. And she keeps talking out of place on the road to other people, because they're talking about her kingdom being overrun, because everybody's so happy that her kingdom got overrun. So she's on a road with like a hood on, and
y'all niggas ain't shit anyway.
And she's like, you know, did you hear about, let's just say, the Bronx? Did you hear about what happened in the Bronx? And she was like, what happened in the Bronx? She's like, you better control that woman.
Did she speak? <He's> like, wait a minute,
women don't have language.
But it's such a cool dynamic between them in the book or whatever. And he wrote 27 books on this, and a lot of people that are
has a cult following.
Yeah, it's a cult
everything.
Following, and a lot of people that are in high master slave dynamics actually like. Refer to this book for like learning purposes on protocol and things of that nature. Like, they do slave positioning, a lot of the positions that come from, like, you know, if you ever seen that list of like all the different positions, that it come from Gore.
Oh wow.
You know what I mean? So yeah, it was like, wow.
That's really cool.
It was dope. So, you know,
I think that the we're definitely not high protocol, but the idea of introducing it for us, It's both ways, actually, because while he's probably more excited about like what that means for me, I'm very excited about what that means for him, because it requires him to be even more like in tune, even more like present and on top of like what's going on and aware of what I'm doing.
Yes.
You know, like how I'm feeling without me having to verbalize it. Mm-hmm. So that's something that, you know, it just increases like the level of trust
I'm excited about it.
And even just being able to learn together in that way is going to be like a beautiful journey. I tell people all the time, being able to learn with somebody like the most intimate thing.
We're going to be learning our own language. High protocol is your dynamics language. Now, for the most part, you may get like the handbook and take a bunch of their ideas, but at some point, you're going to involve things that work best for you. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be between, you know, her and I. We already at parties, and we have certain signals that we give each other to let each other know, like, this is what I want, this is what I don't want, stuff like that, how I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. And that's like, that also feels really good to have that type of connection.
Absolutely. Are you of the belief that you have to experience being a sub in order to be a dom?
Ooh, I believe that you have to bottom in order to be a good top.
Okay.
I believe that it's, you should definitely experience your toys before trying to use them on other people. And my only exception is that there are men that aren't into like prostate play and stuff like that as of yet. For that reason, if that's a hard limit, I understand that. But for the most part, if you're impacting a person, if you're tying somebody up, if you are using some type of shackles or equipment, then you should know what it feels like to have that, you know, done to you, you know, just for the sake of making that better.
I definitely, definitely agree about the using the tools. You need to know what a fucking paddle feels like before you're trying to swing that shit on somebody else.
Or hurt somebody.
Like, come on now. Let's flip it around a little bit. So this is going to be a question for both of you. I'm going to ask you, Siphon, first.
Mm-hmm.
What has being a sub taught you about yourself?
Oof.
And I'm going to ask you the same thing, so think on that.
Being a submissive has taught me how to advocate for myself without using like my typical like 9-to-5 corporate, let me explain, and this is going to be purely logical.
As per my last email.
Literally, because that is me. I'm that. I am per my last email. That is who I am. So, you know,
that's why you
and being it. Yeah, and being a submissive, it's about trusting fully that someone else has the reins. So I have had the reins of everything for so long that just being able to let go and trust, I think, knowing that I can do it, I'm capable of doing it, and this person's going to care as much about me as I do, was something that, you know, I guess I was afraid of for a really long time, you know, and definitely there now. You know what? Let me stop tripping. Because
my boo got me.
Got me.
That's what I'm talking about. So Marvelous.
Yes.
What has being a dominant taught you about yourself?
The importance of planning. The importance of just organization as a whole. And it's really increased my interest in education. When it comes to learning different topics. Like, I've always been, like, a YouTube nerd.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I self-taught myself a lot of different things on there. But when it comes to kink, it's no better feeling than learning something, you know, 1 week or 1 month or 1 day, and then, you know, trying that thing and it being an amazing experience. Mm-hmm. And you're like, man, I want to go back and learn some more stuff, and I want to organize this. And, you know, just it really makes me feel like a superhero. So,
Oh, wait, can I add to my answer?
Of course, actually,
because I wasn't ready. But, okay, so what really, I guess, because I'm like, I know I've learned more than that. I have learned to be more aware of other people's reactions to things and how I might make them feel.
Mm.
And it has helped me in my personal life,
mm-hmm.
actually, mm-hmm. because I'm more like, okay, let me put myself in those shoes.
Yeah.
And think about this a little bit more. So it's helped me a lot in that. It's given me a little bit more bandwidth.
Compassionate.
Pathetic. Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
And Domin has built my confidence. It's definitely built my confidence in myself. Like, just, what was that? Where was I going to go? I just totally had a brain fart. yeah, it's really made me feel like see myself or I hate the idea of, you know, my self-worth being based on how other people view me, but it also does feel really good when people see your value
as
well. You know what I mean? It makes me feel like, yeah, so it's definitely raised my confidence and let me know that, like, I am capable. Because I had sexual insecurities for years, you know, surrounding sex and different forms of play and things like that. And, you know, you know, the reviews are, they speak to my love language because of, you know, my love language.
Words of affirmation.
Words of affirmation. You know, I love hearing good job. I think I might be into pet play. That's another thing. But as the pet, because I love hearing good job, mm-hmm. good boy. Like, I be doing one good thing. I'm like, so you're not going to say nothing?
No.
So you're not going to say nothing?
You didn't see that I picked that towel up without you saying anything. I just went unnoticed. Right.
This is why I don't do anything.
This is why I don't ever do it.
No, you know, the idea of like really studying a topic or really trying to learn a particular skill and then enacting that thing, and then that person be like, the best part of that session was this thing. And you like, little do you know, I just learned that.
Name what it is. Taking it easy on you. Okay. So. All right. I love this. But my last question about the Dom in you.
Mm-hmm.
On your ever like going quest for knowledge, what is next for Sir Marvelous? We've seen the fire play.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen the impact. We see the sensual domination. We've seen the massaging.
Uh-huh.
We've seen. Have I seen you do knife play?
Yes.
Okay, knife play. I don't think I've seen you do electro play, but I feel like that's something that's in your bag.
Yeah, we definitely
somewhere.
Do that too.
What is next in your quest?
Suspension.
Okay.
But I'm not gonna do it in a typical rope suspension. I think that's just way too long for me. I'm gonna do it. We're gonna get a rigging device, like the old fashioned. So I'm gonna have the great equipment, the leather equipment, the good straps, mm-hmm. and everything. So it's cause, but it's gonna be way faster than trying to tie somebody up and then rigging them, and then getting them down is also faster for me. But I definitely want to do kink in the middle of the air, like yeah,
like you're
right, right. And with the rigging that we're gonna get, you know, we're gonna be able to go. You're gonna be able to go high.
Yeah, that's a don't lot of Amazon packages. They gonna be heavy too. I love it. All right, so we are gonna add a new song to the Fun Sexual playlist. What is the playlist? It is the Spotify and Apple Music playlist of songs to play too. You can find the link for the playlist in my bio on Instagram. So, what song are we adding to the playlist today?
Oh,
Division to Into Deep.
I don't think I know that one. I see his name of DVSN. I see it around a lot, but I've never actually dug into his music.
Yeah.
I'm going to check that one out. So y'all heard, Division Into Deep is added to the Fun Sexual playlist.
Mm-hmm.
And before we close out this episode, where can everybody find you guys? Where can they support you? Do you have anything coming up that you want to promote?
Right.
Let it go.
So we got some things. So
we've been working. We got
some surprises in the line. You know about one of them. Mm-hmm. Can't really talk on it.
Congratulations, by the way.
But definitely we're gonna be performing at Sexual Essentials event in September out in Houston. So if you're in the Texas area or the surrounding area, definitely wanna come check that out. You get the opportunity to see us perform live amongst many other great, amazing performers. Her lineup is dope.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're also going to be in Houston for a week doing sessions as well. But as far as where you can find me, I'm located on Instagram at Sir Marvelous. I have two pages. I always announce, tell
you. You got
that.
Like 37 pages.
You know why that is.
They do not love us.
One is Sir
Instagram.
Marvelous, and the other one is Sir Marvelous Kinks. Kinks is spelled K-I-N-K-S. It's just Sir Marvelous Kinks. And the other one is Sir Marvelous. We also have just launched our website at sirmarvelous.com. So, you can definitely find us there.
We're still building that, by the way. Give us a minute. It's a small operation, okay? It's a very small operation. I'd be on my back sometimes. I'd be on the computer the other times. It's a lot. For me, it's siphon_theunicorn on Instagram. There is not much there now. That is not the biggest priority right now, but soon to come.
Mm.
And working on the website, marvelous.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we are looking to move soon.
Yeah.
The dungeon's getting bigger. We need more space. We got a lot going on. So
yeah. Be on the lookout. I love seeing Black people get what they fucking deserve. Let me tell you, I think that might be one of my kinks. I love seeing the people of this community do the people who are actually in the streets doing the fucking work. Because there's a lot of people that are not doing the work that are, you know, have bigger names or whatever. And so that pisses me the fuck off. So seeing people who are like actually doing the fucking work, getting what they deserve, makes me very happy. So congratulations.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
I feel like a mixtape rap or a rapper that made it, because I was in these streets giving out my mixtape.
Oh my God. There was one time I went downtown having a
hitting a car.
Like, you look like you could use a session. Here's my card.
I was in these streets, man.
I want to see one of these cards.
Yeah, so.
But do you want to leave people with an affirmation, a tip, a suggestion, anything that you want to leave the people with before we actually head out.
You could go with your affirmation first. One of the most.
Eat more pussy.
Ooh, yes. Listen to that.
No one's ever been mad at that.
Eat more pussy. One has ever been mad at that.
No one's ever been mad at that.
Ever. I am. My family is full of love and forever growing.
I love it. Mm-hmm. I love it. Thank you, y'all, so much for spending some time with me. Thank you,
finally
everybody,
made it.
For watching.
We made it.
It's been a minute. But thank you so much for coming here. Thank you for spending some time with me. Thank you for chatting with me.
Thank you
for having us.
Of course, of course. On that note, y'all, we are going to peace out.
Right.